Good morning. Thank you, Paul, for sharing those words. So I've been working through this passage of scripture in the preaching class that Sarah and I have the privilege of taking with Urban Stutzman. I chose these verses because they were part of the lectionary text for this week. I read through them initially and thought, yeah, I can preach on this. And then I sat with the verses a bit more, and I became a little less comfortable with them. How is Paul's encounter with the disciples, with those disciples, relevant for us today? In verse 6, we have Paul laying hands on people, and they receive the Holy Spirit and begin speaking in tongues. And being good Mennonites, that's not something we encounter on a regular basis. Nor many of us have probably experienced, and that's okay. The text felt a bit more suited for a more charismatic tradition. And I realized I was also a bit irritated with Paul. He sounded kind of condescending, at least to me. It began to feel like he was saying, what you did isn't good enough, and I have the right answers. And if I'm being honest, when I hear church leaders say, you might have heard this before, but what I have to tell you is right, I get a bit skittish. Also, in our time with Irvin, we learned that if the person speaking isn't connecting with the text, it likely won't connect with the hearers. So considering all of this, I stepped back from the verses for a few days. And when I came back to the story, I laid aside my baggage of Paul's intention and tones and recognized I was probably thinking a bit narrowly and tried to look beyond speaking in tongues as a primary manifestation of the Holy Spirit. So here we are this morning with these verses. And I'd like to share my reflections on this passage about how the Holy Spirit's moving and what we might be doing in response to it. So if speaking in tongues isn't something that we often practice in most Mennonite churches, then what are some traditional beliefs and understandings regarding the Holy Spirit? I pulled out my copy of the Confession of Faith in a Mennonite Perspective and read Article 3, which pertains to the Holy Spirit. The summary of the article is this. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the eternal Spirit of God, who dwelled in Jesus, who empowers the church, who is the source of our life in Christ, and who is poured out on those who believe as the guarantee of redemption. I read it, I understood what it was saying, yet it felt kind of broad. I was still looking for something that felt a little more connected with our daily life. Then a little further down in the confession under that whole section, it says this about the church. And this is where I started to get a little more excited. It was the connection that I was needing to keep moving forward. It says this, as the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit, the church praises and worships God and brings forth the fruit of the Spirit. By the power of the Holy Spirit, the church preaches, teaches, testifies, heals, loves, and suffers, following the example of Jesus, its Lord. It doesn't say, Lori and Sarah preach and testify. It says, the church. Who is the church? It's all of you, all of us. How many of you feel like you can do those things? Preach, teach, testify, heal, love. You are all jumping out of your seats to name those. Which one feels maybe the least scary? Maybe it's love. That seems like something we do in our everyday life. But are we loving in the way that Jesus exemplified love? Maybe not. So can we really envision ourselves doing these things? I know my first instinct is to consider what I can do. Skipping over that first part, by the power of the Holy Spirit. The reality is none of us are able to do any of those things like Jesus without the help of the Holy Spirit. Earlier in Acts 2, we read that the Spirit is not reserved for only a select few, but it is poured upon all flesh, male, female, young, old, slave, free. Each of us has access to the Holy Spirit and can do the things named in that list, and so much more. In 1 Corinthians 12, we find other gifts of the Spirit: wisdom, knowledge, healing, miracles, prophecy, speaking in tongues. All of these things are not given to all people all the time. Yet it's amazing to think that God desires us to have these things, to have these gifts. I feel like God gives me more credit than I give myself sometimes. I believe it's a privilege to receive those gifts, and how we use them matters. We don't get to look at the list and go, today I think I'll try prophecy, and then just go on our way and kind of wing it and see how it goes. A great deal of harm can be done when we misuse the Spirit's name. Each of us is empowered differently to preach, teach, testify, heal, love. And when we do those things in collaboration with the Holy Spirit, God is our focus. So what does it look like to be empowered to do those things? I said it before, I never imagined me being here doing this, yet here I am. This is not something I would or could have done on my own. I felt empowered to step into this role because all of you. I have experienced you all living out the empowerment of the Holy Spirit through testimony, love, teaching, patience, wisdom, and healing. Many of you have helped to heal the pain I have experienced with church, and I am grateful for that. I can't imagine being a pastor in any other setting. So thank you for being open to the Spirit's movement, even when I wasn't so sure about it myself. I believe it's the Holy Spirit who has brought us to this place where we are today as a church. There have been difficult times, painful times. There's been joyous times. It's been beautiful. And through it all, we have been covered by the Holy Spirit. To me, being empowered looks like trust. Trust in Jesus, trust in one another, trust in the Holy Spirit, and stepping into that trust, knowing that God is already there. As I thought about some of the things we can be empowered to do, I thought about testifying. Sometimes we're asked to give a testimony to others, and that can be a really scary thing to do. We're like, I don't have anything to say. But what does it mean to give a testimony? Growing up, it seemed like it needed to be this great story about how God completely changed your life, and if there wasn't some big dramatic change, was it really a testimony? So I found myself believing that I didn't really have a testimony to share because I was a pretty good kid. I obeyed my parents, I didn't party, I went to church every week, I did well in school, and when I got baptized, those things kind of stayed the same. So where was my testimony? Unfortunately, that basic understanding of testimony robs us of seeing the innumerable ways the Spirit is part of our daily lives. When we share that we saw God in the sunset, felt God in the hug from a friend, heard God in the laugh of a child. We testify. That testimony may allow others to be drawn towards God, to experience the Holy Spirit. What in our lives do we have the opportunity to testify about? Where have we seen God show up? I know for me, I struggle with believing or being confident in knowing that I can recognize or know that something is from the Holy Spirit, or if it's just something that I want or desire to have happen. What do we do when we feel empowered or called to do or say something, but that also seems to be in contrast of maybe another believer? Is the Spirit empowering people in what appears to be opposition to one another? Or are we using the Holy Spirit as a defense to do something that because we want to do it? Do we genuinely mistake our desires for the movement of the Holy Spirit? Going back to the confession, it says, we can do these things by the power of the Holy Spirit by following the example of Jesus. It reminds me of the question, what would Jesus do? I know Jackson, you've got it. Jackson still sports his What Would Jesus Do bracelet. He's got this one. We know that the Bible isn't a step-by-step guide giving illustrations of Jesus' response to every encounter in our lives, but we do see the character of Jesus. And I think that can be helpful in discerning if something is of the Holy Spirit. Is it something we could see Jesus getting behind? I also know for myself, I'm more sure when I receive affirmation from other humans, you know, the human voice from another person. Unfortunately, God is patient with me and continues to often provide that voice of affirmation. So thank you to everyone who has listened to the Holy Spirit's nudging and spoken words that have helped to guide me. The more we seek the Holy Spirit, the more we recognize and know what we're looking for. So what does it mean to be empowered in a world and in our church where it seems like there's so much polarization? When our actions, our words, our beliefs, and even each of us are labeled. Liberal, conservative, Democrat, Republican, Christian, evil, right, wrong. Our lives begin to look like a closet or a storage room, where everything has its place. This box for shoes, this box for sweaters. It looks great, but that's not how we as people have been created. We're not meant to be in these boxes. God created us to be in relationship with one another. So if someone can only be in this box or this box, and we take them out long enough to maybe put them in this box, what does that do? And what do we do then with the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit. So do I assume that the Holy Spirit's just in this box with me? Well, we know that the Holy Spirit's been poured out on everyone, so we'll go ahead and, you know, the Holy Spirit's in this box, in this box, in this box. But if this is the box we're hanging out in, we can't really see what's going on in these other boxes. We don't necessarily see what the Holy Spirit is doing in those other boxes. So for us, the Holy Spirit becomes most comfortable in our box. We know, we can kind of say, yeah, this is how the Spirit acts. This is what we recognize and know. What if we try instead to not fit the Holy Spirit into our boxes and assume what's happening in this box or that box and say, you know, this is how the Spirit moves here, so this is how the Spirit must be moving in this box, when we actually can't see any of that? What if instead the Holy Spirit covers all of us? The boxes are gone. And what do we see first? We see the Holy Spirit. This is an imperfect analogy, but hopefully a reminder for us to see first where the Spirit is at work in the lives of people we encounter, in conversations we have with family and friends, and as we go through our daily lives. Today's message is just as much for me as anyone else. I want to be more in tune with the Spirit in my life. I desire to have more clarity in discerning the power of the Holy Spirit in my life and recognizing it in the lives of others. I know that the Spirit is at work here at Zion, and I saw that firsthand this past week. I want to tell you a bit more about that, and I have permission to do so. Several days ago, I received a message from Monica Campanieri saying that she had been praying for Jen Moira Groff in her upcoming surgery that happened this past Friday. And during that prayer time, God brought to her mind to suggest an anointing time for Jen before her surgery. So Jen was open, Monica talked with different folks, and Jen was open to this happening. So Sarah Piper, Monica, and myself planned to meet Jen on her porch on Thursday morning before the surgery for some prayer and anointing. We gathered that morning, and Monica shared that this wasn't something that she normally does or suggests, but she felt compelled to initiate the conversation between all of us for that to happen. Jen expressed gratitude for Monica's suggestion, but also naming that she wouldn't have asked for this herself or even thought about really needing it. But in that space, she recognized that what was happening was exactly what she needed in that time. It was a sacred space. The presence of the Holy Spirit was felt and acknowledged. And I shared with them about my direction, about the direction I thought my sermon might be going. That was Thursday morning. And how in that moment it was, surprise, the Holy Spirit showing up in our daily life, just like the Holy Spirit showed up with the disciples, with Paul, that in that verse in Acts. The disciples were empowered to speak. And Monica was empowered and willing to listen for and hear and be moved by the Spirit to anoint Jen. A testimony of God showing up in a time and space when we didn't know that we needed it. Paul had come along to share more about this story to the disciples, providing them with something they didn't know they were missing, that Holy Spirit. The Spirit moved Monica to anoint Jen, providing the opportunity of prayer, laying on hands, and anointing. Jen didn't know what she was missing. It's not the first time, and I don't expect it to be the last time, that God graciously allows me to witness the connection that's needed when preparing a sermon. It's a good reminder that it's not about what message I want to share, but what God wants all of us to hear, to see, or to know. Sarah and I may be the pastors here at Zion, but that doesn't put us in any better position to be empowered by the Holy Spirit than any of you. I have, without question, seen many of you responding to the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. In John 14, we are reminded by Jesus that the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all I have said to you. So as we begin this new year, may our hearts, minds, and our ears be open in new ways to the teachings and the remindings of the Holy Spirit to empower us to move in the way of Jesus as individuals, as the church, and as the world. Come, Holy Spirit, come.